Hi everyone, my name is Kei Shiano. I'm the designer of Owen Dunn and Elite Beat Agents, and you're listening to Radio Free Nintendo at NintendoWorldReport.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Radio Free Nintendo. I'm your host, Carl Castaneda, and joining me today are two staff members. First up, reviews editor Jonathan Metz.
Hi-o!
And frequent podcast contributor, well, now, these days anyway, Mike Sklans.
Hello, hello.
He's here today, just third time in a row.
Do I get a prize?
Is this the dawn of a new era?
It is the dawn of a new era because my girlfriend has moved back to Orlando for the summer.
Oh, snap.
So basically, you can count on seeing Mike or hearing Mike every single show until the summer's over.
He comes to us in his loneliness, in his time of sorrow. He says, my girlfriend is gone, and now I need other friends.
True.
Will you guys hang out with me? I'm all alone.
Well, you know, in a couple months, I'm going to be moving up to Tallahassee. So I will be there to comfort Mike when he needs comforting,
I suppose. Yeah, I love
Carl. Anyway, we got a lot of stuff to take care of. So first up, this is episode 50.
Hooray!
This is episode 50 of Radio Free Nintendo, and man, it's been a long road, don't
it
you guys agree?
It has, though. It really has.
It doesn't seem like it's been that long, though.
It really it seems like it was just a couple months ago that Evan and I were yelling at each other over the internet.
Well, you know, I checked back, and this is actually my 33rd or 34th episode of this show. And I checked yours, Mike, and yours is considerably less. So take that.
I bet I've been on the show as many times as Mike has.
That hurts.
I bet I have,
just
really.
A little bit. You know, and I think the order that it goes is it goes with me. I think then it's Johnny. And then I think Mike is then, after Johnny, it's Mike. And then Wendy, Stan, and then Evan's in the mix somewhere. And then, like, you know, the miscellaneous staff, like Pale. So, yeah, 50 episodes. You know, we started with Radio Free Nintendo, then we had Nintendo Pirate Radio, then they kind of became the same thing, and here we are, 50 episodes strong.
Go us.
Awesome. But we might be doing something special. Pay attention for the rest of the episode, and you might hear something cool.
Details are still being hammered out.
Yeah, exactly. First up, what have we been playing? Johnny, before the show, you told me you've been playing a lot, so go ahead.
I just wrote down a list of 4 games I've played this week, and that is
awesome.
That's like a lot for a guy who's going to school.
Yeah.
and working. So, okay, first up, I'm still playing Super Paper Mario. I'm on Chapter 5 now, and I'm happy to report that, you know, as of last week, I had just gotten to the 3rd chapter, and I was like, okay, this one's good, the 2nd one was awful, I really don't know where it's going from here. But I have to say, the 4th level was pretty good, and the 5th level so far seems interesting. So I'm hoping the game is going to stay on this upswing throughout the rest of it. So cool. I still like it a lot, and it's a little slower pace than I would like. I mean, part of me still really wishes they had just done a platformer with Paper Mario graphics and the 2D, 3D flipping and everything, and that's not what it is, but what it is good, and I do like it better than the Paper Mario RPGs. It's not that slow, thank goodness. I also actually rented a Wii game, which I haven't done. I'm not sure if I've ever rented a Wii game. And it's not that I don't rent games very often, but I think the problem is that I had, like, this spring I've had such a long string of PS2 games that I owned and I was trying to play through, and they were all really long. So I had Final Fantasy XII and then Guitar Hero 2 and then God of War 2. And so I spent a lot of time going through those, and then as soon as I finished up those, Super Paper Mario came out. So that's basically how I filled the void. So instead of renting some of the launch games that I missed and things like that during the drought before Paper Mario came out, I was playing other platforms. So now I'm trying to catch up on a couple things. I was actually going to try to rent The Godfather because I'm supposed to review it, and we never did get a copy from EA. So EA, if you're listening... Anyway,
what the hell, man?
it was rented out, so I rented Elebits, and this is a game I've been curious about. Evan seemed to like it with certain reservations when he reviewed it last year. And I've only played like the first three or four levels, but so far I think it's pretty interesting. It's a little better than I was expecting. It does have this kind of feeling of like being a tech demo that they said, oh, this is cool, we should make a whole game into this. Like, it's not terribly well conceived from the beginning. The story, there's not a whole lot of story as far as I can tell, but there is like an intro cutscene, and it is awful. It's unbelievably bad. It's one of these cases where there's a... What?
I've heard the voice acting is pretty bad.
Dude, it's some of the worst I've ever heard. It's like one of these... it's one of these cases where you have a grown woman playing a small, like, 10-year-old boy.
Works for The Simpsons.
Yeah, it works better for The Simpsons than it does in most cases. But, yeah, it's really, really terrible. It's like Saturday morning cartoon level where they actually, where the same thing happens quite a lot. So, anyway, she doesn't even remotely sound like a little boy. She sounds like a woman talking to a little boy. It's so weird. It's just awful. So anyway, the gameplay's fun. The controls are a little awkward, mainly for moving around. It's just very sluggish and kind of... The whole thing feels like you're like a disembodied gun, basically, floating around. You don't actually feel like a person. You never see any part of your body. It's strange. But it's worth playing. So far, I would say it's worth a rental. I don't know. We'll see. I've got it for a couple weeks, so we'll see what it's like later on. Cool. The other things I've been playing very quickly, more Pokemon. At this point, I've probably spent about half the time, and I've logged in like 40 or 45 hours on the game since I got it 10 days ago. And so far, about half of that has been spent underground digging for fossils. Mike, has this happened to you as well? I mean,
No, but I need to go down there and find lots of heartstones.
Yeah, you do. I've got a ton of them, man. I think I could actually trade them to you, because I could give them to Pokemon and then trade the Pokemon to you, and then you could trade the Pokemon back to me.
Right, we could just get a pair of Bidoofs and just keep doing it.
Of what?
A Bidoof.
Oh, yeah, Bidoof. Yeah, okay.
I thought we had a rule in this podcast not to say Pokemon.
Oh, right. Just bleep it out.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I don't know. It's not even like a lot of the stuff I find is useless, to me anyway. But the digging itself is so addictive, and like the rest of the game, you can play it on such a subconscious level that you can totally play it while you're watching TV, on the phone, having a conversation, even having friends over.
Totally.
I mean, I played it during a staff meeting, a website staff meeting last week. So don't tell Wendy.
Too late.
Yeah.
But it's like you can – that's the thing. It's like before I know it, I've been playing for 6 or 7 hours, and it's not like I sat on my bed and just played Pokemon for 6 or 7 hours. I did all this other stuff. So anyway, the other thing I've been playing, I finally downloaded Punch-Out, and this is one of two or three virtual console games that I'm trying to catch up on, but I don't have time to play all of them right now, so I just downloaded this one for now. I want to get Bonk's Revenge later. But Punch-Out is good stuff. It's as good as I remember, basically. A couple of the guys are like even simpler than I thought. Like basically, you just have like you look for one clue in their animation, and you punch at that time, and that's all there is to beating them. And you just do that over and over and over and over again until they die. So it's not the deepest game in the world, but it is really fun. It has the most amazing sound effects. Like when you knock a guy out and he does this. I don't know if that's a good impression of it, but he does this exaggerated animation where he's like flinging to the side and then he flings to the other side.
And it's sort of looks like he's going in slow motion sometimes. And...
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it's supposed to look like he's like wavering in the wind on his way down to the mat, but it doesn't really look like that at all.
it's like he's having a seizure.
Exactly. It's got so much character to it, you know?
So much racism. So much wonderful racism.
It pretty much does, yeah. I mean, the Indian guy wears a turban and he's magical and he talks about tigers, and then the Spanish guy carries a flower in his mouth and talks about his girlfriend and he dances, and
Piston Honda just says random Japanese words.
Yeah.
But of course, Soda Popinski can't be a drunk, though. All we can have racial stereotypes, just no alcohol in our game.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Violence, but no sex.
That's the way
so
we
anyway,
roll in America.
That's what I've been playing.
Okie doke. How about you, Mike?
Just Pokemon, pretty much
just Pokemon.
Exclusively for this week. I'm about almost 20 hours in, and I really haven't gone underground that much, Johnny. I know you wanted to get my opinion on the digging in.
Once
Pokemon
you go down, you'll
Spectrums.
Never come back up.
Oh, I've been. Oh. But I definitely think Spectrobes does the fossil digging a lot better. But not well. I guess not a lot better. It does it better. But for no, like, there's really. It's supposed to be the core of the game, but it feels so tedious in Spectrobes because you have to do it. Mm. And in Pokemon, it's just an option. But it will soon be a requirement for me to get more Heartstones to give to the move relearner.
Whatever. I, on the other hand, have not gotten Pokemon yet because I had to finish up Yu-Gi-Oh, which meant I played Yu-Gi-Oh this week.
I'm really glad you like Yu-Gi-Oh, Carl. It's one of those games that I kind of dread sending out to anybody because I just
well,
I'm
don't
afraid
send me
that nobody
one.
Is going to like it. By the way, from now on, you get all Yu-Gi-Oh games.
No.
And there
no,
are
no,
like
because...
three every year, so just prepare
because
yourself.
I am not becoming the Yu-Gi-Oh reviewer.
Oh, yes, you are.
That. You can take that job and shove it because as much as it is a solid game. Like, it's a solid game, but it's not a game I'd play twice. I mean, like, they're not gonna add some mysterious new function to the game that's gonna make it better.
Just more
so
cards.
Basically, exactly, it's just gonna be more cards. Basically, it's gonna be like Pokemon, but whereas Pokemon battles can take somewhere between 5 and 6 minutes, these battles take about a half an hour.
Jeez,
it's basically like you're sitting down for a game of Magic, and it's not something I'd like to review again.
I have played many, many, many hands of Magic that lasted like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. I'm just using that as an example. But, you know, if you've never played Yu-Gi-Oh before and you want to try, you know, really complex strategy card game, then yeah, pick it up.
No,
I gave
go
an
play
eight.
Magic.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, there's that, but if you want something to play like that on your DS, then yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh is a pretty solid game. It's definitely better than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was basically going to be licensed crap.
Unfortunately,
because that's what the show is.
Well, unfortunately, we're never going to get a Magic game on DS.
Why not?
Well, the problem is there's already a really, really good digital version of Magic the Gathering, which is called Magic Online.
Yeah,
and
I've heard of it, yeah.
It's really good. I played it for a couple years. My friend and I were in the beta, and the cool thing about the beta was it was fully functional. There were a couple bugs here and there, but you got all your cards for free because they wanted to test all the cards, and they were stress testing the servers. So for like 3 or 4 months, we got all the Magic cards we could possibly want. I mean, you still like went. They were testing the store as well. So you'd go to the store, which is just a website, and you'd click on the packs. And they after a while, there got to be so many cards out there that they started to limit you to like 5 packs per week or something like that. But we would download all these packs, didn't have to pay anything for them, and then open them up. And it's really cool. I mean, it's exactly like in real life. You open up the pack, you don't know what you're gonna get. All different rarities. They have a really robust trading system. They have like community-led auctions and things like that.
And now, Johnny, wasn't there at one point? Couldn't you trade your paper cards for digital ones and digital cards for paper ones?
No, you could never trade your paper cards for digital. You could trade digital for paper if you completed an entire set, which is very difficult to
do.
And by the time you do that, you've probably been playing so much online. There's the thing. To me, unless you're in it purely for the collecting, like as a business, like you want to get the rare cards so you can sell them for a profit, which I never really did that. If you actually are interested in playing the game, the online version is far superior because any time of the day, anywhere in the world, you can get a game with somebody at your skill level.
And you don't have to deal with nerdy assholes. I played Magic.
You kind of do.
I mean, I played,
no, you kind of do.
Okay,
you kinda do.
But you don't have to smell them.
That's true. You don't have to smell them. You don't have to shuffle your deck. It has a really nice deck creator where you can make decks very, very quickly using the same cards. So in real life, if you have multiple decks with this, you know, you have to move cards from one to the other when you want to use that deck because you don't have to do any of that stuff. I mean, it's brilliant. The problem is you can draft.
Okay.
They have tournaments and everything. You can enter tournaments and win prizes. The problem is you have to pay for the cards, and they cost the same as the paper cards. meaning that in order to build up like a nice collection of cards that you can make several good decks with, it's going to cost you at least $100 or $200, if not thousands. I mean, I've seen people spend thousands and thousands of dollars on these digital Magic cards, and it's one of the greatest game. I mean, seriously, I've put more time into that game than almost anything I can think of. It's like, wow. I mean, you can play it over and over. You can get really into it. They add new content literally every 3 months, because every time a new card set comes out in real life, it comes out on the online game too. So it's always expanding. It's always fascinating. But it is really expensive. And they will never put it on DS because they're not going to be able to carry over that payment infrastructure. And they're certainly not going to put 3,000 or 4,000 Magic cards on one DS cart and give it to you for $50.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. It's not in their business interest. So anyway, I went on for way too long. Sorry.
so I played a little Yu-Gi-Oh! And finished that up, put up the review. 8 out of 10, like I said. If you're into a strategy card game on your DS, check out Yu-Gi-Oh! You might be surprised. And it comes with 3 free Yu-Gi-Oh! Cards.
Hey!
Not bonus.
Good. Yeah, not
good ones.
Not from, you know, from playing the game, I can tell they're not very good cards, but hey, they're free.
Brand synergy.
And,
the idea is to get you hooked on the card game now that you have the video game.
Well, congratulations, Konami. You did not. So, no, I am not hooked. Those are going to GameStop. Anyway, next up, I also played a couple VC games. I played Gradius 3 for Virtual Console Mondays.
Yeah!
Which is, like, that game made me its bitch.
It's awesome.
That is a hard game, but it's good. It's really good. Like,
it's really the correct way to play it is with the Konami code, don't you think?
Well, and
that makes it
but
fun.
But for the purpose of being, the fact is most people are probably not going to use the Konami code. Like, it's probably not going to register, or they're just going to forget, or they don't know about it. You know, so I played it, you know, normal style, and it's still a really good game. You know, there is slowdown, but it's the one case of a game where, like, I'm glad there's slowdown, because you need that slowdown just to understand what the hell is going on.
Yeah. No, you're
so
right.
So it's like what, Space Dragons? You know, it'll get you. And then, like, I've never been so afraid of bubbles in my entire life.
The bubbles are brutal, man. Did you ever try what, like, I told you about the options with Reduce and E-Laser?
I don't think I did. I gotta go back and try it.
Dude, it is killer. Like, you will own that game.
Because you've got these giant bubbles, and you shoot them, and they turn into 3 medium-sized bubbles, and you got to shoot those to turn them into 4 small bubbles. And then you're out of time, so you got to like, dodge them, and it's just craziness.
Yeah, you might be better off just not shooting it in the first place.
Yeah, but I need to shoot. It's my thing. I need to do it, Johnny.
I think it's training you to let off that trigger button just a little bit.
No, I can't. I'm a trigger-happy fool. That's what can I say. But, the other VC game that I played on Johnny's request is Star Fox 64.
Yes.
Which is, you know, it's good. It's, what can I say? It's good,
awesome.
Star Fox. It's good.
Uncle Andros!
yeah, you know, play it. You'll like it. Okay, but we've been talking about what you've been playing for a long time, so let's move right into community, baby. We got, first up, Virtual Console Mondays. Battle Load Runner on the TurboGrafx-16 got a recommended for fans. This is important because it's the first game that was previously not released in America that is now in America. So, sweet.
Right.
But it didn't require any localization.
It didn't, but, like, it sets a precedent, you know?
For Hudson,
I'd
feel a lot more encouraged if Nintendo had done this.
I couldn't help but chuckle a little bit when I went to our forums and saw someone say, buy Battle Load Runner. Maybe it'll make Nintendo bring over Earthbound Zero.
No, it will not. It has nothing to do with that.
I'm like, oh man, I feel bad because someone's gonna be like, yeah, I'm gonna buy Battle Load Runner, and they're gonna be completely disappointed. Anyway, and then like I talked about before, Gradius 3 on Super Nintendo, recommend for everyone. It's great. Go buy it. Next up, Wonder Boy in Monster World on Genesis, recommended for everyone. It's another one of those Wonder Boy games. There's a whole weird lineage to it. We've talked about it on this podcast.
It's like Dragon's Curse on
TurboGrafx. Yeah, it's like a bunch of different games, but it's good. So you know you'll enjoy it.
I haven't played Wonder Boy yet. I'm interested in doing so, but the guys on Retronauts compared it to Battle of Olympus or Faxanadu on NES, and those are both games that I like a lot. So
yeah,
they're kind of like Zelda 2, but but not crap.
Ouch. Mm.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Nah, Zelda 2 is not crap. It's just the worst Zelda game.
It's, you know, it's a black sheep. It's just different. It's just different.
It's just not as good. But I mean,
some people like it, some people
don't.
Some people like it, but those people also think Link to the Past is better.
Okay, whatever. Anyway, so that about clears us up for Virtual Console. We're going to rush right through it. And next up, we've got listener mail from a guy named Drew who says, "Hey folks, love the show," and we love you, Drew. "Just wanted to request that you guys spend a little time on the show sometime soon talking about how you would personally translate Pikmin to the DS and Wii, and when you think such a game might actually happen, since we haven't had any news about it yet." Johnny, you played a little bit of Pikmin, didn't you?
Oh yeah, I've played both of them, yeah.
And how would you bring it to DS or Wii?
For DS, we've already talked about this a little bit in a previous podcast, but I think for DS, the touchscreen would be really handy for... Basically, you could kind of be moving one direction with the D-pad and tossing Pikmin in another direction. My apologies to our British listeners for saying tossing. And, or you could maybe use some motion on the touchscreen to control how far or how hard you're flinging them. I don't know which one would work better in the gameplay sense. The other thing is you could actually whistle into the microphone to do the whistle instead of pushing a button like on GameCube. I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
But
maybe.
Online play on either system would be great. Two-player Pikmin on Pikmin 2 is really fun. Surprisingly to me, very fun the way they set it up. So I'd love to see that. Maybe some kind of level editor. But mainly, it's not so much that I want to see what they would do with the new controllers on Pikmin. Mainly, I just want to see another Pikmin. And I'd like to see, Pikmin 2 is great in that they got rid of the time limit, which needed to be done, probably. It added an interesting kind of urgency to the first game, but it also made it to where you could play pretty well all the way up to the end and still not win the game. So I think that kind of upset a lot of people. But the problem with Pikmin 2 is that one way they extended the game dramatically was by adding, like, randomly designed... underground levels, and I felt that those got kind of tiresome after a while. There was really like one after the other. They're all pretty much the same, and it's like, to me, the charm of Pikmin is being above ground and seeing the garden environments and all that stuff. So that content is about the same in Pikmin 1 as it is in Pikmin 2. So it's like all the additional link they added on for Pikmin 2 is all underground, and that stuff is not as interesting to me. So I'd like to see a larger above-ground world. I mean, these guys are really tiny, so the world should be big.
Well, I think it'd be cool to see them in outside of gardens, maybe, like, you know, in someone's house or on a city street.
It would be cool. but keep in mind that despite the brand name products that you're digging up and carrying back to your spaceship, this is supposedly on a different planet. It's not on Earth.
That's true.
Because of all the alien creature, well, all the alien creatures and the monsters and the Pikmin themselves, all these things are not on Earth. So, I totally agree. That would be very interesting. But they'd have to decide at some point. Okay, are they on Earth or not? Or, you know, like, how do we handle the fantasy of taking this into some kind of civilization?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that would be interesting. Or what if you went into, like, the Pikmin hive and met the Queen Pikmin?
That'd be neat.
All right, well, his second question is, when do you think this will actually happen? When do we think this will actually happen, guys?
Who knows, if ever. Nintendo has said, though, they've got, you know, a whole bunch of Wii and DS games in development, and they sure as hell have not released names of all of those projects.
Not even close.
So it could be a Pikmin.
And Pikmin was a big success.
Especially in Japan,
was
too.
It really?
Yeah.
In Japan, it was enormous. The first one sold, like, well over a million copies, maybe over 2 million in Japan. And it did pretty well in America, too. So I think Pikmin 2 did not do as well, maybe. But, you know, it came out pretty late in the GameCube's lifespan. And I don't know. Again, it's just one of those sequels that's not a whole lot different from the first one. To me, when you do two games in the same series, in the same generation, especially with the Nintendo fan base, they expect those games to be sufficiently different.
Metroid Prime felt the same effect, I think.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, Metro Echoes is, in my opinion, maybe slightly better than the original, but it is mostly the same
thing. Yeah, I couldn't. I never even beat it. It just got, like, it's too samey.
It's really hard. It's worth beating, though. I mean, the stuff towards the end is very cool. Did you get to the fortress?
No, I'm sure I didn't.
Oh, dude. I'm barely. The fortress is totally worth it. The fortress is where the game really starts to branch off from the original in the aesthetics and the level design and everything, and the powers you get, because that's where you start to get things like the screw attack, which can, if you use it correctly, can really change the way you play the game. So it's, you should really try that again.
Yeah, probably. I haven't played it in forever now, so maybe, you know, it's going to be a while till Metroid Prime 3 comes out, I'm sure, so.
Well, we better quit talking about Metroid before I sabotage the podcast.
Exactly. All right, guys, I'm going to cut you off there because it's time for a commercial break. When we come back, we're talking about the news.
Don't go nowhere.
Hey there, everybody. Carl Castagneda here. You know, we have a great time putting on this show. It gives us a really great opportunity to voice our opinions on the latest in the world of Nintendo. But we know that you as listeners also have your opinions, and we know you'd like to voice them. So we're giving you a one-shot deal in honoration of our 50th episode and our upcoming one-year anniversary. So here's the deal. You record a segment between 1 and 5 minutes and send it to rfn@nintendoreport.com in an MP3 format. Basically, you can discuss a news piece, a review, or even an opinion. That's right, everybody. This is your chance to be heard on Radio Free Nintendo. So again, the address is rfn@nintendoworldreport.com. Get it to us soon, and we'll be hearing the best ones on the air. Alrighty, guys, let's get back to the show. Alright guys, and welcome back for the news. First up today, Hideo Kojima of Metal Gear Solid fame has played Super Smash Bros. Brawl. He says it feels very complete.
He also said he couldn't punch Mario.
Yeah, that sounds a little weird.
It's a little too cheesy sounded for me.
It sounds like there were clipping problems, and he chalked it up to nostalgia. Like he tried to punch Mario, but Snake's fist went straight through his head. So
maybe
I wouldn't say that's very complete.
Well, you keep in mind this is Japan, you know. If he could have been hit in the face with a bat. He says, "You know what? I felt very welcome at this development house." So you never know.
Says it looks complete. So you know, maybe that does lend some credence to the game coming out this year.
Sure. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean it will be. You know, Nintendo has been known to hold back games to.
Oh, totally.
There could be marketing delays.
Yeah,
but I think the thing about complete or feels very complete, that doesn't surprise me very much, because I think the way to design this type of game is to kind of get all the physics and the controls and the fighting mechanisms down to begin with, and then you basically start adding content on top of that and balancing.
Yeah, it's all about balance. Yeah.
Just because he can jump around with Snake and pull out a gun and shoot at Mario, that doesn't mean that the game is almost finished. It may feel complete because they've got those mechanics down. Because maybe Snake... I mean, obviously Snake was one of the first characters they put in. They showed him a year ago.
Yeah.
So that doesn't mean that they're close to done, because obviously a big part of the development of Smash Brothers is the balancing. And you can't really balance until you get all of the characters implemented, which I doubt they've done. Or if they have, then they haven't had it for very long. So I think there's probably a lot of work left to do. But
it also depends a lot on how many characters are going to be in it.
Right.
I think there will be at least the same amount that were in Melee.
How many were
Melee?
In Melee?
I predict 70.
You predict 70? 70? I was thinking 30.
There were not 70 characters in Melee.
No. There's only 70 in Brawl.
Anyway.
Yeah. I think it'll be somewhere around 25 or 30, not counting like palette swaps.
Yeah, probably. That sounds about right.
I was thinking that Little Mac would be an interesting character to throw in there.
Yeah.
We'll see.
All punches, and then uppercut.
Uppercut is his special move. And he can pull from the power of racism.
And he could also, you know, he could use a button and have his trainer come out and pat him on the shoulder and regain health.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Or how about a projectile move where he shoots the trainer out on the bicycle ahead of him? Another character that would be interesting to add would be like Ash or one of the numerous Pokemon trainers, because he would have so many opportunities for special moves. Obviously, they're Pokemon in the game anyway, but he could have certain ones that they've never used. And, he could be like, it'd be very interesting how they balanced him up against characters like Pikachu. Like, would he have a move where he could encase Pikachu in a Pokeball for a limited amount of time?
He should be able to encase anybody in a Pokeball for a limited amount of time.
It would be like Yoshi eating somebody and crapping out an egg.
There you go, yeah. It's a palette swap move.
Yeah. So,
there you go.
That would be
cool. Yeah, never know.
That would be nice to see, like, someone like Donkey Kong trapped inside, like, a really tiny Pokeball.
There you go.
And, Donkey Kong appeared to be caught. No, no, he's not.
Hey, what about this? If once someone's caught in the Pokeball, any other character can come along, pick up that Pokeball, take it to somewhere else on the level, throw it down, and that character comes out and does an attack whether he wants to or not. And then finally you regain control of him. That would be awesome.
We've already done all of Masahiro Sakurai's work for him.
Yeah. Seriously. Please. Dude, just listen to RFN. We'll take care of it.
That would be hilariously amazing.
Exactly. All right, next story. Nintendo invests in Monolith Soft. You know them as the guys who developed Xenosaga and Baten Kaitos on the GameCube.
And they're also working on Disaster Day of Crisis on the Wii.
Which seems to be a disaster in its own right.
Well, we can't really say that just because
we don't know anything about it.
It's got ugly screenshots.
Have you seen the screens?
But that doesn't
mean
anything.
The screens?
That doesn't mean anything.
We'll see.
It just means it looks ugly. Really, really ugly.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, hopefully after Disaster Done, they'll invest in some new RPGs. I'd like to see some more RPGs on the Wii, or any at all, so hopefully Monolith will get on that.
Maybe, a lot of those guys in Monolith were originally part of the Xenogears team at Square, and wouldn't it be interesting, they took the Xeno franchise from Square with Xenogears to Namco with Xenosaga. What if we ended up with, like, Xeno Epic or something like that, or Xeno whatever on Nintendo systems now?
The story with Xenogears was that Xenogears is a property that is still owned by Square Enix, SquareSoft at the time. So what they had to do was they had to change it a little bit,
right?
So they could continue it into Xenosaga.
That's what I'm saying.
So
they could do that yet again.
That's good, because then it wouldn't be like Neon Genesis Evangelion, the video game.
Yeah, basically, but not as good. So we'll have to wait and see. But Baten Kaitos is obviously a highly revered title, and so hopefully we'll see something of good quality come out of Monolith Soft. Exclusively on Nintendo platforms, coming to you. Anyway, we talked about last show about we had a listener mail from somebody named Greg who wanted to know about when he would be able to pick up a Wii. Well, according to a certain analyst, you will not be able to pick up a Wii easily until 2009.
Can someone tell me what the first four letters of analyst spell?
Anal!
Yeah, because these guys don't know anything. They're all assholes. Not assholes. Asshats, probably better term.
Asshats.
That's not what anal means, Obi.
Yeah, I know. But it's,
like,
anal-retentive.
Anal-retentive.
Anal, anus, asshat, basically. That's the logic I'm flowing on.
So your point is that you don't think this guy knows what he's talking about?
Yeah, none of these dudes ever know what they're talking about.
I agree.
Yeah, they usually don't know what they're talking about, but wouldn't it be something if it did last until 2009?
It would be terrible for Nintendo.
Well, DS is still on a shortage, and it's selling really well.
Yeah, but not like this. I mean, you could still walk into a Target and buy a DS, as long as it's not, like, the couple weeks before Christmas.
Not in Japan.
Not in Japan, no, but in America, you can. No problem. You can get a DS if you... You might have to go to two or three stores, but you can get a DS in America.
Yeah, in general.
So our own RFN analysts predict that this guy is an asshat.
Yes. That is my official analysis of him.
Alrighty. And our last news story. Wow, we're really hitting through these things quickly. We talked about Pokemon earlier in the show, and it seems like it's already a success. 1 million copies sold in 5 days.
Shocking.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Not really.
It's not shocking, though. I mean, it's we all knew this was going to happen. It's already the biggest selling game of the year.
Well, yeah, probably.
It is. No, it is. God of War 2 was the God of War 2 last month sold like 800,000, and that made it the biggest game of the year. And that was for, I don't know, half the month. So Pokemon in 5 days is already the biggest selling game of the year so far.
But, you know, it's kind of, if you think about it, Halo 2 on Xbox sold something like 4 million in its first weekend.
Sure, yeah.
So you have to wonder, like, is this really a monstrous achievement? Yes, or is it just par for the course for Pokemon?
It is still a monstrous achievement, no matter what.
It is. And keep in mind that, remember, Microsoft tracks their sales by how many are shipped to retailers, not how many are sold all the way through to consumers. So,
oh, come on, John. This is not a mass conspiracy. Halo 2 sold a lot of copies.
Oh, no. Dude, there's no doubt about it. But do I think it was in the hands of 4 million gamers within the first week? Not really. No.
Yeah.
No.
We'll see.
I mean, it was by the end of that year.
Yeah, totally. And that about closes us up for news. Wow, this has been a really short news segment, guys.
Well.
Yeah.
I guess the other thing we can talk about on news, we kind of missed this on the site. It's not that big of a deal because we already knew about it, but IGN did an interview with SNK about Neo Geo games coming to Virtual Console. And we already knew that was going to happen. We've reported on it weeks and months ago. Yeah. In fact,
on this podcast.
I think, we've talked about it a couple times, actually. But they kind of got some like quasi-new details on it. This SNK guy was saying that basically, they're not stupid enough to go through and like re-release all the Metal Slug games, which are already on Wii for a lot cheaper than you could get them on Virtual Console. They're going to be more selective than that. The price will be a little over Super Nintendo, which makes sense because Neo Geo is like a little over Super Nintendo as far as I guess it's kind of like a 32-bit-ish system.
It'll probably be the same price as N64 games.
Yeah, I think it's going to be $9 or $10, maybe $9.
We'll see.
And it's they're aiming for like a worldwide release, even though that I bet they don't release the same games every week in every region, but they're aiming to start the service worldwide, like probably sometime this summer. So nothing really shocking there. But
better than buying $200 cartridges.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. I mean, it's by far the cheapest way ever to get Neo Geo games other than buying these compilations of... I mean, who really wants 8 King of Fighters games on one PlayStation 2 disc? And they're all
well,
exactly the same thing.
Ty might.
Yeah, Ty might.
He's the only one.
Well, that closes us up for news. When we come back, we're going to be talking about our feature, which are our dream games on the Wii. See you in a second.
Nintendo World Report's Radio Trivia, annoying you Friday nights.
Folks, and we are back. You know, we used to have a big feature on the site back before I was a part of the staff, many, many years back, where we talked about our dream games on the GameCube.
It was actually
and,
one of the first articles I wrote. I wrote about
a
souped-up version
Super Smash
of Smash Bros.
Melee. Yeah, Super Smash Bros. Melee before it was Melee. And then I remember, I think it was like a year and a half ago, we brought it back for readers. We had a contest. And called the Dream Game Revolution Contest. This was, of course, back when Wii was known as Revolution.
Which was about a year ago. They changed the name, by the way.
But yeah, it was about a year ago now, wasn't it?
It was a year ago as of a couple of days ago of this recording. And actually, the Wii, the naming of Wii also shares a date with the announcement of Duke Nukem Forever, which hit its 10th birthday before, and it hasn't even been released yet. And it hit its 10th birthday last week.
And when you add up the release dates, it's the number 23.
Yeah, no.
What?
That was a really bad joke. Ouch.
All right, sorry, guys. Sorry. I had to do it. I didn't really, but I wanted to. But, getting back to the main subject, we're basically just going to go around the room, talk about games that we want to see on the Wii, and basically games that we came up with ourselves, so you know they're terrible. And speaking of terrible, I'm going to start with
mine. I don't think mine is so terrible as it... as it is just probably boring to most people and there's going to be, like, a set group of people who will be like, yeah, that'd be completely awesome, but that set group of people is people who like sim games. And I'm not talking about, like,
yeah.
The Sims. I'm talking more, like, SimCity, or SimCity, not SimCity.
SimAnt, SimEarth,
yeah.
SimTower.
Yeah. Those games.
SimZombie.
SimGolf.
You know, and there have been all of those sim games, including ridiculous stuff like SimAnt, that I really wish we had seen a Sim University. Like, to me, a university is, like, it's small city, and I work at a university, so I pretty much can't escape it, you know, thinking about how things could be run better.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see something, you know, where you ran your own university, and you built it from the ground up, and you start out as, like, you know, a small private school that only accepts, like, 300 freshmen a year, and then you move up to the big leagues where you're accepting, like, you know, 12,000 students a year, 40,000 students a year, and, you know... That's, like, the size of my university is we're accepting almost that many students, and we enroll about, you know, like, 6,000 of them are, you know, for every year. And I'd like to see something like that where you can completely, you know, micromanage your university, keep your student body happy, keep your faculty and staff happy, generate grants and money and that sort of stuff, you know, start a killer athletic program. And it'd be really awesome if you could get, like, really deep down, drill down and have, like, an entire athletic coaching sim built inside of your sim university, and maybe you could even, you know, have NCAA football included in it. Like, you could just go from playing your university and jump right into a game of NCAA.
You should keep it on the level of athletic director, not the actual coaches.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You have, like, that game that came out of, I think it was last year, that was Madden Head Coach.
Yeah,
that was all about, you know, you could kind of incorporate
something
that
like that, you know, and then... You know, also, like, seeing, like, you know, keeping your student body happy. Like, you know, what if there's a bunch of hippies protesting, you know, are you going to abide by their wishes, or are you going to break out the fire hose kind of thing? I'd love to see something
lovely.
Like that.
Lovely. What a wonderful image.
Break out the beanbag gun.
Well, yeah. So, Mike, what you were saying earlier about, like, moving up from, like, a small private college to, like, a large state university, like, what if you're playing this and your goal was to make it into, like, the premier Ivy League kind of school?
You know, you
like,
could also
if,
do that.
What if one of the objectives was basically to increase your rank on the U.S. News and World Report?
Oh, don't get me started.
Top universities and things like that.
Don't get me started on the U.S. News and World Report rankings, because they're complete crap.
Yeah, I know.
But it would be cool to know. Basically, what those drive mostly on is your accept rate. Like, how many students apply versus how many students you accept.
It's also the graduate
yeah.
program.
But a lot of
undergraduate.
It, well, when you're just looking at the undergraduate side, a lot of it is your accept rate. So, for example, the University of Florida is probably going to jump up pretty high on the list this year, because they have a ton of applicants, because a lot of kids just are applying there because they keep winning all these national championships. So their accept rate is going to go down a lot, because they've got so many more applicants. I heard their application rate is up like 15% over last year, which is that's a lot more applicants when you're looking at, you know, 40,000 applicants jumping up to 45,000 applicants.
Well, this is fascinating. What about your game?
let's go back to the game.
But you got me sidetracked with the U.S. News and World Report.
I'm just saying that's a natural metric to be built into the game.
Yeah. Yeah, everything like that should be included, because, you know, that exists in the real world, so it should be in this game. You know, you can design your own campus. Do you want it to look ultra-modern, or do you want it to look all very classic collegiate, you know, that kind of stuff. Just every little aspect of it. Hiring your teachers, what majors are you going to offer, you know, what do you want to focus in? Are you going to build this massive science facility with a one-in-the-world kind of thing?
You could recreate the plot of Animal Farm.
Yeah.
That
so I guess that's, like, my entire game. Like I said, I don't really have a lot to it. It's just sort of kicking around in my head every now and then. I think, I wish I could do that. But then I realize now I probably wouldn't, because it'd be like being at work.
But playing Mike's life, basically.
Yeah.
So, Johnny, what was your game?
Okay, I haven't even told you guys what my idea is yet.
I'm gonna wager my guess that it's Harmonica Hero.
No. It's not.
That would be cool.
It's Theremin Hero.
Yeah.
You know what a theremin is?
Wait.
Okay.
I don't know what a theremin is.
Okay, let me explain this. It's really cool. It's the only musical instrument in the world that you play without touching it. It was invented like 100 years ago. It's one of the first electronic instruments. And basically, it's two metal rods that stick up like towers, basically. and they create a, they're electrically charged, they create a magnetic field in between them. And you hold basically metal batons in each hand, and you wave them near those metal towers to create sound. And like one hand controls the volume, and the other controls pitch. And it's really difficult to get, the intonation is really hard because there's no fret, there's no guide. It's like you're waving this thing in midair, just like the Wii remote, by the way. And you have to kind of know instinctively where the note is that you want to hit. So the it maps perfectly to Wii. Basically, you could take two Wii remotes. I think another remote would work better than using just one and the nunchuck. But you would take the two Wii remotes and hold them out in front of you, and it would play. It would be similar to like Samba de Amigo, but Samba only had three positions that you could put the maracas in to register, and this would have, it would be continuous. It'd be everything in between, and so I think the interface would be a lot like Karaoke Revolution, because you're dealing with intonation just like you are with your voice when you're singing. So you'd have a line there of the note that you want to hit. And you're waving these things in the air, and you're trying to raise and lower your hand until you get to that note that you want, and then keep it there. And if you, everyone listening to this has heard the theremin. They may not know it, but it's the instrument that was used in science fiction movies back in like the 40s through the 70s.
Also, if
and it
you've
sounds
ever...
like that kind of stuff. Obi, what were you saying?
I was saying, if you've ever heard the Beach Boys song "Good Vibrations,"
yes,
you've heard a theremin. It's that, you know, that weird science fiction-y sounding noise in the background.
Yeah,
that's it.
It's what yeah. It sounds a lot like a human voice, but there's something kind of creepy to it that like separates it from the human voice. And it's a really interesting instrument. They're very hard to find. You can make your own if you're good with electronics, but they're difficult to buy because they're kind of obscure. It's very hard to play, but it's so perfectly suited to the Wii controller. And like I said, the interface all basically already exists, because I think the way you'd want to set up the gameplay and the interface on the screen is so much like Karaoke Revolution. So anyway, this is a game that would never, ever, ever be made, because nobody even knows what a theremin is, but that's why it's a dream game.
That is the most niche game ever. But I have a game that's probably a little less niche than Johnny. It's probably more niche than Mike's, too. Basically, I'm a big fan of, like, treasure shooters. And I always wanted to have something like that where it's in, like, a third-person 3D game. But that's hard to do because, you know, it's hard to take that... Because you have so much control in a treasure game that it's hard to put into 3D because of the camera and such. So I figured on rails... So it's an on-rails game where you've got your Wiimote as a gun, or if you'd like as a sword for like up-close combat. Basically, enemies are constantly flying at you, and the goal of the game is to basically escape the level alive.
Have you played Sin and Punishment?
I haven't.
I think somebody already stole your idea.
Except without the sword.
Yeah.
Damn. Well, I want Sin and Punishment sequel. That's my dream game, then.
Well, yeah,
like,
you know,
I want to come to
Sin and Punishment console. Is a treasure game, in fact, so...
Yeah,
it is.
Exactly.
Damn you, treasure!
Like, in Sin and Punishment, you're pretty much always running forward, so it is on rails, but you can also move from side to side to a certain extent, and you can jump. Uh-huh. So you're always moving forward, but you can also dodge things left and right, and then jump and shoot in there. And you have actually guns and a sword for up close combat.
Oh.
So they've totally raped your idea, Carl. I'm sorry.
Wow.
You should import a copy for your N64.
Yeah,
I should. And this is why I'm the host of the show, because I obviously know all about this.
That was great. I can't believe you just described it.
It shows just what a good idea it is, though. I mean, it's already been done.
Yeah.
And it's a game that's highly highly revered. I own it. I love it. I haven't played it in a long time. But it's just kind of a pain to get out the N64 and the damn adapter and everything. But it's great. I mean, if you can get it for under $100, it's worth doing if you like treasure games, for sure. And obviously, we hope one day it'll be on Virtual Console, but it seems a little unlikely.
Will.
I mean, the story and the dialogue and all the voice acting is all in English. It's kind of bad English, but it's in English. The only thing you have to localize is the main menu. So,
That would take 30 seconds for someone to be Japanese.
So, I mean, if...
Which was basically the case for Battle Load Runner, and that happened, so...
I think Battle Load Runner was actually already in English, like, even the title screen.
Oh.
Well, but, still. I mean, still, Nintendo published it, they have all the rights to it. It could happen one day. It's feasible.
In a perfect world.
I really don't want to get my hopes up or anyone else's, but I really hope it'll happen one day.
I hope it will, because I'd like to play that game, as we can tell from my dream game idea. Before we close things up, do we have any other ideas for games, guys? Anything else?
Well, you know, I would really like to see a game where you cooked food.
Like Cooking Mama?
Oh, yeah, or maybe a game that was a platformer and an RPG at the same time.
Like Super Paper Mario? Yeah. I get it, Mike. I get it. Thank you.
Hey, actually, I do have another dream game. This was one that I've written about on the site. The article's still up if anybody wants to go read the details on it, but I think it would work really nicely with Wii because of the pointer function, basically. But I think it was called Mock, and the idea was that you played as this sound wave, and maybe it had little googly eyes or something, I don't know. You can make a mascot out of it if you want. But it's a sound wave, the idea would be like the story, if you could call it that, would for each level would be like, I don't know, like a little girl is standing on one side of the street, and her dog is on the other, and she's trying to whistle to it to come over, and... So she'd make some noise, right, like a whistle or a call out or call his name or whatever, and that would create a sound wave, and then that would be you. So then you take control of it, and you can actually like control the direction of it or whatever. But basically, you have like a certain intensity that goes down as you travel over distance. So the idea is that you have to find the path to get to the destination that will get you there before your intensity runs out. So you would have like different. Like maybe there'd be amplifiers or different resonating structures in the environment you can hit, and that'll like extend your intensity or whatever. And then there'd also be like hot and cold zones in the air that you could see. And so when you get into cold air, sound travels better in cold air because it's more compressed. So you could get into cold air, and that would like speed you up, and you could get farther with using less intensity. It would be like kind of like a 3D puzzle, where you're trying to navigate through here and get to the end without running out of life.
Of course, you'd also have to avoid other sound waves going at you.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there'd be all kinds of like destructive, maybe even constructive interference, where you can join up with another sound wave, that's similar to you, and it'll like double your intent, you know, whatever. There are a lot of cool ideas you could do with it, I think, and it's like a fundamentally 3D game. And because you're tilting in basically 6 degrees of freedom as you move forward, I think the Wii Remote would be really nice for that, better than a joystick even.
Cool. Yeah, I think I remember reading that article that you wrote, or was it you who wrote it?
It's well known.
Yeah.
What?
Never mind. Johnny wrote a Dream Game article on that very subject years and years ago. That's actually that very idea.
Yes.
And I think I remember reading it like years and years ago.
Carl, are you sure you're still like not? Are you okay? Are you still sick? Are you on any type of medication at all?
Why?
Because I don't know. You could. It seems like you very well could be on some sort of prescription meds.
I don't think.
You're saying
I am.
That you're losing it, man.
I'm losing it, and am I losing control?
You're far out. Totally tripping,
well,
man.
I better tie up the ends of this show before I go any further down the hell pit.
just embrace it, man. Embrace it.
Just embrace
just roll
it,
with it, man. Don't be afraid.
Hey, Johnny, you're the fish fan. You tell me all about that.
Hey, man. I don't know nothing about it except what I picked up from the people around me.
Alrighty,
it's all atmospheric.
Well, remember, it's all about the atmosphere, man. It's all about the atmosphere. Remember, if you want to give us some reader mail or listener mail and ask me how I'm doing, you can do that at rfn@nintendoworldreport.com.
You get like a midweek remember, status need... report on Carl's health, mental health.
You can always, I'm always around to answer questions about my personal health.
Oh.
Anyway. So yeah, so send us a listener mail, right?
Yeah.
And also go to iTunes, listen to us, rate us, subscribe to us, and enjoy.
Rate us great, rate us poorly. We just want your feedback.
Yeah, and if there's any, if you guys listening, guys and gals, have any ideas for the 1 year anniversary show, anything that anybody you want to bring back, anything you want us to talk about during that week, let us know because we're thinking about it.
Yeah, I think we're definitely Evan is trying to come back for it. He's very busy, but
let's not make any promises we can't keep. Yeah.
I would love him to come back so him and I could have a good old internet shout fest.
I just want him to talk more about Shadow. That was my favorite episode. Yeah.
And I know Stan should probably be back eventually when his work time permits. And who are the other regulars on the show? I guess Wendy? Mindy might be back.
I wouldn't call him a regular.
We don't want Wendy anyway.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's us three. It's us three, Stan and Evan.
Are the most regular.
If we could get all five of us on one episode, that would be fantastic.
That would be too much.
I am not hosting that episode.
Maybe
we can host it. Evan was good at hosting.
Evan was a good host. I'm always trying to pull things from Evan's strategy. And speaking of strategy, I do believe this is the end. Congratulations on 50 episodes, fellas.
All right. Yay. Thanks for listening.
Props to us.
Balloons. All right, and see you next week, guys. Hope you have a fantabulous week.
Yeah.
Bye.
See ya.